Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones mobile today. He is taking the Sunbury Motor Studio on the road in Chicago. No word, though, if he did any ice fishing yet. Remember, the temperature in Chicago the other day was like in the single digits. I'll have to find out what it looks like outside Chicago and outside the hotel room here in just a few minutes. The Steve Jones Show Friday edition, where we chat with Tony Knopp of Spotlight Ticket Management later on in the program. We'll talk a little bit more about the business of sports there. And last night, the Budweiser duels, a lot of action in that particular set of races. And some frustrating...
Nobody wants to hear about it.
Some frustrations afterwards.
Oh, it's a fraud. Next.
No, Danica did not look like she was acting this time.
Fraud.
She got a little bit upset with Denny Hamlin, who got underneath the wing and got her a little bit loose. Fraud. And that's what happened in Wednesday's practice session as well. Same two drivers, same incident.
Yeah. Amazing how that happens, isn't it? What a coincidence.
Well, here's a thought. You can't bump draft going in the middle of turn three. It's not rocket science.
Well, I'm just not going to give them what they want. I'm not going to talk about it. All right, let's get to other parts. Oh, I'm serious.
Well, listen. It almost cost her, his mistake almost cost her an opportunity to make the race. I don't blame her being upset. Twice.
I think it's an incredible coincidence, don't you? Incredible.
I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. I'm not even alluding to that. I'm not even alluding to collusion here.
If that doesn't happen, nobody talks about what happened last night.
Probably, you know, you're probably right. Because the guys that won the race were expected to.
What a coincidence.
Well, all right, let me rephrase what you said, because I agree with you to a point. If they didn't have the altercation, the not-so-interested NASCAR fan would not be talking about it. How's that? Because I think the NASCAR fans would be talking about last night's race, because I thought Junior looked really tough and has looked almost unstoppable this week.
Yeah. All right, let's get to something that's actually important that's going to affect what we see, as opposed to two people that are going to finish 25th and 26th in a race. And that is freshman eligibility in college sports. And this is a huge issue. I know it's a depressing thing for you. You'd rather talk about the 24th and 25th place finishers going around in circles. That's fine. But it's an issue.
I resolved this issue weeks ago. I don't know why there's a big deal about it. Just you can't enter the NBA. There you go. You can't enter the NBA this early. Solves the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why are they talking about this issue all of a sudden if it weren't for the fact that players were going to the NBA early? What would be the other issue besides that?
Okay, how many players won?
I don't know.
Exactly.
But is there more to this issue besides just the basketball component?
No, this is an overreaction to it.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to be telling me that you were hoping they were doing something about this.
No, for them to do something about this, they're wrong. It's an overreaction to Kentucky. It's an overreaction to something that's not a big problem. In Power Five, now this doesn't affect Bucknell. This is no effective. This is the Power Five conferences. They have autonomy. They're the ones talking about this. So that's where the issue is. The issue is with them. And when you're talking about the Power Five, that doesn't include a lot of other people who can do whatever they wish. How many freshmen are there among the Power Five schools? This is going to be a long segment.
I have no idea. 22.
Okay, how many power? Okay, no. How many Power Five schools are there? Let's start with that. This is going to be an even.
You know, if there was going to be a test for this program, I might have studied. No, I would have watched the races anyway. Forget it.
There's 65 Power 5 schools. Okay. Five conferences, 65 Power 5 schools. If each one of them has 3 to 4 freshmen on the team, correct? Right around there, usually?
Sure.
Now we're at 240. All right, let's use round numbers, 240. In fact, you really want to round it, maybe there are 250 true freshmen in college basketball in the Power Five conferences. Okay? How many went as a one and done to the NBA draft last year? 7. 7. So, in other words, we're going to put in a rule about freshman eligibility that affects 2.8% of all freshmen because of 2.8%. Really? Really? 2.8%. Let's not pretend that 100 one-and-dones went to the NBA draft last year. That didn't happen. 7 did. 7. So we're going to put this together for 2.8%, an overreaction to 2.8% as opposed to the 97.2% that ended up staying multiple years in college. Am I missing something here? The Big Ten is, I mean, Jim Delaney's talked about this a couple of times. He's actually helped lead the charge on this in a bit. And I believe in Jim Delaney's era, when he played at North Carolina, I believe freshmen were ineligible, which meant at that particular time, guys like Pete Maravich, Lou Alcindor, a.k.a. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all played at a time where freshmen were ineligible. Thus, they played on the freshman team. Okay. But what does this solve by making freshmen ineligible? Does it take 10 guys, you know, let's round it up. Let's, you know, instead of it's going down 5, let's give the benefit of the doubt that 10 are going to go early. So for 10 guys, we're just going to tell them they're not going to play college basketball. And what's to keep guys from staying at school 1 year, then after the second year they go? What's the difference? I find it a completely, thoroughly bizarre I, proposal. I don't get it. I don't get what it accomplishes. For 43 years, freshmen have been coming into school, and I don't think they're the grades. I think if you look back at what freshmen have done, freshman athletes, freshman student athletes, they're not all failing and falling by the wayside, you know. They're a cross-section like anybody else. Some come in, it's easy. Others have to work at it a little bit. Others get time management. Some need a little bit more time. Whatever. Okay? And I find this to be an absolute overreaction because of Kentucky. I find it bizarre.
Now, I can't believe we actually agree on this.
Why?
I just didn't think we'd agree. I think this is ridiculous myself, but I was surprised. I didn't think we'd be seeing eye to eye on this one.
Well, I mean, we you know, if you want, we can go back to talking about the fake controversy, but that's up to you.
Well, how about we take a break and then we can maybe come back with that fake controversy? That'd be great.
No, because it's really going to take the show nowhere. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Tony Knopf, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, coming up in the next half hour, talking about the business of sports.
Hey, Steve, there's a little bit of snow on the way tomorrow, and some weather-related issues are already causing some changes in the District 4 playoff schedule. Just got word that the girls' game for Lords at Bucktail will be Sunday at 3 now. Northeast Bradford at Millville will be Monday at 7. The AAA Shamokin Athens game will be Monday night at 7. Boys AA Mount Carmel Loyal Sock will be Sunday at 6. Sunday at 3, the AA boys, Southern Columbia at Danville, and then Muncie Wellsboro on the AA side will be Monday at 7. We'll have all those on Winternet on WKOK.com in just a few minutes. But tonight's action is continuing. That includes Shikellamy at Shamokin later on tonight here on WKOK at 6:45. Just want to pass that along.
That's what, a 4-5 matchup, right?
That's a 4-5 matchup, right, with the winner to face the winner of Mifflinburg-Lewisburg.
So the winner's going to face Lewisburg?
The winner of the Mifflinburg-Lewisburg game, yeah.
So the winner's going to face Lewisburg?
I'm not falling into the trap.
You have so often. Why change now?
Sooner or later, I'm going to get wise.
Well, probably the latter, but that's all right.
I was hoping for sooner, yeah.
Yeah, I know. We all do. Baseball is going to speed up the game a bit.
Good.
1 foot in the batter's box. What an intriguing idea. Where have we heard that idea before?
Are they going to use the pitch clock?
No, I don't think they're going to use it yet.
It works so well in the fall league. I was surprised. I thought maybe they'd jump on that.
I don't think they're not quite ready to do it. Well, you have to install it in every park too.
No, yeah, that's true. And in Boston right now, they can't even get inside the park.
Oh, that's okay. I flew over Wrigley Field coming in today. I can tell you right now, they're not ready for opening day.
They can't get in the park either.
No. Nope. I mean, and I'm talking, Wrigley Field was completely snow covered. It's snowing here right now, as a matter of fact. But I think part of that actually is you probably can't get into some of these places to even think about installing one. So, at least, the first pitch has to be thrown the second they get back from commercial break. That's the other part, which I like.
Wait, say that again.
The first pitch, once TV comes back from commercial break, then you throw the first pitch. Instead of wait, sometimes there's a wait, and a lot of times what happens is TV holds you. Well, they don't want TV holding anything.
Oh, okay. I wasn't thinking about that part.
And what happens is that, and that's why they have, that's the red hat, for example.
Right.
And the red hat exists in every sport, where you'll come back from break and they want to show you a package. And the package takes 30 to 45 seconds. Well, baseball's going to look at it and say, look, you're going to air your package. Air it somewhere, what's going on? He said, but we got to get right back to work here. You're getting enough breaks as it is. And that's what happens. Sometimes you'll see games like, and you'll see somebody like at a scoring table, they hold their hand up. It's because, TV's back on the air. They're back on. They're just not ready for you to start the game again. That's a lot of control. That is a lot of control.
On the other hand, while I go to do a basketball game tonight, I'll have no control whatsoever. So sometimes the game starts the second half before I'm back from break.
Wow, that's really a huge complaint.
Let's just call it a pet peeve.
Don't they know who they're dealing with?
I think that's why they don't worry about it.
Hey, don't they know you're the Kevin Herr?
Actually, when we're on the sideline, a lot of times the official will check with us to see if we're back from break to make things cleaner. That helps.
That's because you are the Bob Costas of the Valley.
I never went to Syracuse.
You and most of the broadcasters in the country.
He was a Syracuse grad, right?
Yeah.
All right.
But not every broadcaster went to Syracuse.
Good point.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone in the Friday edition, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Best selection. Soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, plus the pickle bar. Pickle bar is second to none. Stock up for the weekend. It's going to be cold, snowy this weekend. Why don't you go out and stock up tonight? That way you're set for the weekend, including the big Daytona 500 coming up on Sunday at the Daytona International Raceway. And the twin races were last night. Just as an appetizer to set everything up for Sunday, and now you can stock up at Brewers Outlet and get ready for the big race, the Great American Race, coming up on Sunday. So Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We are joined by Sir Kevin of Herb.
Hello.
Who is? Yeah.
I'm not able to do two things at once. You know that, don't you?
Are you saying I deliberately said that?
I think you did.
All right.
Just like I think you deliberately, you think that the altercation at NASCAR was deliberate too.
Oh no, it's a simple five letter word that I want you to remember.
Yes.
Fraud.
Yes.
I sat there and went, oh, how juicy is this? Could they? Which driver would you pick to get people interested in the race?
Well, that would have been that one or Junior.
Yeah, he's at the front. We're fine. Him winning was good enough. In fact, he did win last night, right? He won one.
Yeah, he won the first one. I'll tell you what, he looks good. He looks like he looks really, really solid.
Yeah, did it count?
I think it did for him, no. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sure. All right. Thon this weekend, by the way. We'll talk to Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, in a moment.
Actually, I have him on the line now.
All right, let's check in. Tony, great to have you with us.
How are you? Good to talk again.
Great to talk with you. All right, the New York Post put out an article 2 days ago, and it dealt with millennials, 18 to 34, that they don't watch TV. Now, they watch on their devices, whether it's iPhone, iPad, Android, whatever it happens to be, and that's not really charted well right now. What are the challenges in your business with millennials 18 to 34?
Well, it's like this isn't the first time that's happened, as we've seen different platforms come and begin to dominate the way that our sports are being consumed and how that is affecting what we do on our side of the business. I think as that continues to go, what the teams are really trying to do is find the way that it's being consumed and integrate that consumption into the actual event itself. Right. If your goal is to bring somebody to the event in some way or another to interact with the team, what you need to do is you need to have that tied together with how they're consuming the event, whether that's on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, WhatsApp, you know, Yik Yak, any of those different things that are out there. And continually put yourself in a situation where when somebody comes to that event, they can interact with the event the way they would be doing it away from home. And the goal there with the millennials is trying to build that fan as they grow into, you know, the spending ability they'll have later in life, to do the sponsorships, to do the boxes, to do the season tickets, that sort of thing.
Yet the average ticket holder of FC Kansas City in soccer is 29, if I'm correct that. What?
Well,
now there's an appeal.
Really
there's
a lot
an appeal.
Of success with
what
the
are they
MLS
doing?
Is they're getting the young parents, right?
Right. So they're getting the young parents to get involved in this.
They're getting young parents to get involved because it's a very easy to digest sport, and you see today the news coming out from Major League Baseball about trying to speed the game up by requiring batters to keep one foot in the batter's box, by allowing another challenge for the coaches, but it has to be, plays at the plate have to be challenged. And what this is that this is every sport really trying to hurry up to make sure that they are appealing to the next generation. MLS has done a great job because the game is static. It's only 90 minutes. Right, and you know it's 90 minutes, and then you're out of there, and it's really easy to interact with the teams and fans from there. So the NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, they're trying to do the same thing and trying to learn to interact with them so they can bring that median age down. Now, the one thing about MLS that I believe throws that number off a little bit is the entry point for it is much lower than most sports. Right? Yeah, baseball is a little less expensive because there's so many more events, but when you compare taking your family to an MLS game to taking your family to a football game or a basketball game or a hockey game, it's roughly a third of the price.
Right. And now let's get to the baseball part, pace of play. When you've talked to the corporate partners, have they ever complained to you about pace of play in terms of getting tickets out there and so forth?
Indirectly, yes. They don't complain about pace of play as far as, you know, it's affecting the demand for our tickets because of that specific reason. But what it's coming to is it's affecting the demand for the tickets because of a lacking in support for baseball at the younger ages right now. So we are running into, you know, any of our businesses that are looking for that 18 to 35 demographic, that 18 to 35 demographic, because they're still watching baseball, but they're not attending the games like they used to. And we're seeing it indirectly.
The Raiders and the Chargers have entered into an exploratory agreement about a stadium in Los Angeles. So let's go to one of your wheelhouses. Is this a viable reality, or is this leveraged by the Chargers in particular to get a new stadium from the mayor in San Diego?
I think it's leverage in so many different ways. I think it's the Chargers trying to leverage the mayor in San Diego, who's been, and for those who maybe don't follow the politics around that, who's been very, very defiant of the Chargers and their deal with the city. You know, the deal the Chargers have with the city right now, if tickets don't sell out, the city has to buy up the tickets. So for many games, when the Chargers aren't very good, the city's buying anywhere from 10 to 15,000 tickets a game. And it's costing them millions of dollars against a budget for a city that's basically broke as is. I think there's a lot of leverage being played there, but I also think this is a little bit of the league trying to put something out there to leverage Stan Kroenke and his goal of, you know, having a team in the Hollywood Park area of Los Angeles, which is, for those who aren't familiar with it, about 20 minutes north of the proposed site in Carson. And, you know, it's one of those things where what he's trying to leverage is where the Lakers used to play. The Lakers forum is right there next to where Kroenke's trying to build. So I think you have the NFL trying to leverage Kroenke trying to leverage St. Louis, and then the Raiders and the Chargers trying to leverage Oakland and San Diego into new team deals that are funded by public money. And I think, you know, as we discussed last time, I think the public money for these things is starting to dry up a little bit.
All right, now here's the next part, Tony. When you talk to your corporate people, would a team in Los Angeles be popular?
Yes. Yeah, it'd be very popular. You know, it's a lot of times when we think of sports as fans and outside of the business side, you think, well, it's an expansion team. It's going to take a little while to grow fans. You're not going to have that rabid fan base like you have for the Steelers, the Bears, or Penn State, or anything like that. But the reality is the corporate partners don't need that tie to the team yet. What they're really looking to do is find unique experiences to take people to games. And it will be a new shiny toy. So the corporations will really support it for the first 3 to 5 years. That'll get rolled into longer deals. So I think the team will be fine. It just has to start winning within the first, you know, 10 to 15 years. Whenever you open a new stadium, you're usually signing your corporate partners to deals that are at least 7 to 10 years. The Atlanta Falcons are doing it right now. They just announced a big deal with IBM yesterday, and we've seen that as a pattern. So I think it will be very popular for the short term, and then we'll see what happens past, you know, a decade.
All right. Obviously, the college football ratings for the college football playoff were outstanding. I think they even exceeded what they thought, you know, that, you know, what it would mean ratings-wise across the board. Is, you know, we talk about soccer. What does college football mean to the ticket world right now? Is it possible that, you know, even more so because of how the college football playoff played out?
The college football playoff was by all means a total success. They made more money than they could ever imagine, and the TV numbers were fantastic. So I think what you're going to see, though, is a bigger spread in the haves and the have-nots, because as you continue to have that playoff and you're not sharing that money across multiple conferences, you're really just sharing it in the power conferences, it's going to lead to a tectonic shift, and that's fine. I mean, as far as in our business with what sponsors want to pay for and what corporations want to pay for, they really want what's trendy. They really want a model where there's something they can count on. And that's what they see in a more mature business where there's power conferences and power teams. It's like English soccer with the, you know, same six teams are always good. And even in Major League Baseball, you can always spend money on the Yankees. You know, in basketball, you can always spend money on the Lakers because they're generally good. I think we're going to start to see that in college football. And I think it's going to affect the tickets, too. I think you know, it's really going to hurt the middle-of-the-road teams who don't have the facilities to compete with the bigger schools that have the facilities, like, you know, Penn State, Michigan, Alabama, USC, schools like that.
Tony, is there pressure on the Lakers to be good?
Not yet. I mean, they did a deal that really put money in their pocket for a long term. They did a $3 billion TV rights deal when they brought in Steve Nash and Dwight Howard a few years back, and that deal has them covered for the next 10 years. So there will be pressure for them to be good, but I think it's going to be after Kobe Bryant leaves, probably in a year or two. You know, their ratings, what's really interesting about it is their ratings are at the lowest they've ever been, and you would think that the Clippers ratings would go up, but the Clippers ratings have actually dropped from last year to this year as well.
Why? It just lack of interest? Does it go back to the original question I asked about millennials? Why are they down? What are the indicators you're getting?
It's a Laker town. You know, the ratings are down for the Lakers because the team's bad. There's no question about that. And, you know, they've basically given up on the season. But, you know, we talked about this a year ago and 2 years ago when it was, hey, you know, the Clippers have a new owner. They have an exciting new team. Maybe it's time for them to take over the city. And they're just nowhere close to that happening right now. I mean, the reality is the Clippers still have a number of sponsorships available, a number of categories that you could sponsor the team on. They just don't have the depth that the Lakers have. The Lakers, they've had corporate partners they've had for the last 25, 30 years, people who aren't going anywhere. So they've got – the Lakers have that contiguous revenue in place right now that will buy them another year or two of, you know, tanking like they're doing right now before they have an opportunity to try to be good again. And unfortunately, NBA fans are starting to realize that that's the way this works, and surprisingly, they're somewhat okay with it right now.
There have been a lot of ways over the years, Tony, to get revenue for teams. I don't care whether it's a college team or whether it happens to be a professional team. Seat licenses, luxury suites, things like that along the way. And that, I'm just the tip of the iceberg there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. In 2015, what now works and what's antiquated?
You know, what we're seeing, and I'll go a little tech geek on this one, but what's about to change with sports teams is they're starting to really use technology to try to drive more of the experience. So what I mean by that is, you know, IBM's getting involved with a lot of teams right now using their Watson technology. You remember Watson as the smart computer that was on Jeopardy that beat all the contestants. And what they're basically doing is they're analyzing it. And I can use a Nittany Lions game as an example. They're analyzing the weather that morning. They're analyzing where the cell phones and using beaconing technology to see where people are in the stadium and around the stadium. Where are they spending money? Where are they spending their time? What merchandise lines are they in? Can we start to staff the building based on what we think the weather's going to look like and how ticket sales have been for the last 3 months? So based on that, we're starting to see a lot of dynamic changing in almost everything. You know, the ticket prices are no longer static. They're changing them based on demand and based on a lot of other factors. You know, merchandise prices and sales prices, those are changing based on what we're seeing. We're just seeing this giant change in how we're attending the event. You know, I sat with the PGA Tour yesterday, and they were telling me about how Uber is trying to replace basically any form of transportation to any PGA tournament. Uber wants to make it cheaper to take Uber than to own a car. That's their ultimate goal. And so that's what we're seeing in 2015 as far as how this is going to change revenue for teams and leagues, right? How do we really make it individualized for Steve so that how he gets to the game, where he goes, and where he is, we are offering him what he wants at the exact price that we can make the most money on. So I think it's going to be a massive change that the fans aren't really going to see because it's going to be a little bit – it's going to seem like, oh, it's just a coincidence that I'm in the right place.
It's interesting because Jack Ham and I, just in casual conversation, the number of times that we have casually just talked about Uber and what it can mean and how it's driving, obviously, other entities crazy – but they're very personalized as to what they do. What's antiquated? What doesn't work anymore for sports entities?
I'll tell you the problem for them. What's antiquated is season tickets. And that's, it's getting more and more that direction. I mean, the same way Uber says we want to eliminate the need to own a car, StubHub saying you don't need to own a season ticket, right, unless you intend on attending all of the games. In college football, that's okay, but in college basketball and most of the larger sports with longer schedules, it doesn't make sense anymore. And that used to be, and that might be a good thing, Steve, because that used to be the number one reason to have longer seasons. You had more ticket revenue coming in. Maybe this might be the opportunity for the NBA to, you know, change the schedule up a little bit, which Adam Silver's been talking about. And it might really antiquate some of the ways that we've been consuming the game, you know, over the past few years. Season tickets don't make sense anymore. On sales, where you show up, you know, on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, 2 months before the season starts, to buy your individual tickets, that's antiquated. That doesn't really work anymore.
You just had your meeting with the PGA Tour talking with them, and they're right now at the Northern Trust at Pacific Palisades out at, what, Riviera, mm-hmm. I believe.
Riviera.
Right now. For them, okay, no Tiger Woods, and he's not going to play the Honda Classic either. So no. We already know that. Now, that drives obviously, TV ratings. What are some of the issues the PGA Tour is facing right now, in part because he's not a part of the mix?
It's a big-time problem for the PGA Tour and for everybody involved in golf. I mean, golf participation rates were down last year. Golf ratings were down last year. pretty much every metric that you would use to gauge how a sport is going went down over the last year. The interesting thing about that is they have a template with which to follow that's very similar to them in NASCAR. NASCAR had boom times until the mid-2000s and has really struggled ever since. And I think the PGA Tour has an opportunity to really look at what happened there and try to move away from it with different ways of inviting new people into the sport, making that sport more approachable, which is difficult to do because it's an expensive sport, and trying to find new stars. I mean, the one thing that is out of their hands is, you know, Rory McIlroy is not going to pull the same kind of viewership that a Tiger Woods is going to pull. And so I think it's just going to be an adaptation game for them.
And part of that is, look, Tiger can be an absolute fan favorite, but he also can play the role of villain to some people as well. He actually played both roles, which is actually very important to bringing people in to see whatever. The Raiders, for years, were, quote, the villain, thus yeah. very popular for people to watch.
Floyd Mayweather is a terrific villain
yes.
who makes a ton
yes.
of money. I mean, people can say what they want about him. You can say what you want about you know, the Raiders, the Just Win Baby Raiders, or even the Deflategate Patriots, but people tune in and watch them, and that's how they make their money.
Right.
And the reality for, you know, Tiger Woods' effect on the game was, It was easy for it to get beyond into the casual fan, into somebody who maybe didn't understand golf, because you knew
right.
he had already kind of superseded what we understood about the game, and you knew that he was hard to beat. So when you had Chris DeMarco going head-to-head with him in the Masters, nobody knew who Chris DeMarco was. My wife didn't know who Chris DeMarco was, but you knew it was big, bad Tiger Woods, and you knew if he was going to lose, it was going to be something to watch. And golf's going to
yes.
struggle if they can't get somebody like that. I mean, the NBA had Michael Jordan. You know, the NFL right now has Brady and Belichick and the Patriots. It's always good to have that black hat super, that black hat super player that can get people that don't understand the game interested in the game. Golf doesn't have that right now. There's too much parity.
And I'm going to guess your wife didn't know who Bob May was either.
No, she didn't know Bob May, Rocco Mediate. No idea who those guys are, right?
No
those
idea.
Are the stories you need. You need Rocco Mediate going
yeah.
toe-to-toe with Tiger, because that story tells well in whatever sport you're playing. Right? It's Jimmy
right.
Connors at the 91 Open, right? It's
sure.
That's the
yes.
story we want to see.
Yep, exactly. In talking with the PGA Tour, one thing about NASCAR, they're very corporate-oriented, the drivers are. They'll meet with all the corporate sponsors. They're great with that. But they're
mm-hmm.
also far more standoffish now in terms of actually dealing with, quote, the real fan. Does the PGA Tour have that? When you talked to them yesterday, was that one of the points of emphasis with them?
They understand it, and they're really trying to drive their engagement beyond the big corporate thing. Because what the PGA Tour does, which is really, really useful for the corporate fan, and maybe the casual fan doesn't know this, is, you know, they always have the pro-am outings before the events, right? You can go in on a Monday,
right.
and you can play around with Webb Simpson or you know, Adam Scott or whoever's there, and you really get an opportunity to interact with the players. You get to play with the players. You know, so it's incredibly expensive, right? They're looking for ways to expand beyond that into how do we get the casual fan involved. And really what they're looking at is they're very unique, and they're very focused on trying to find out who that fan is and what that fan actually wants. They're very genuine in their approach to it. Right? If somebody comes and enjoys our tournament, we want to find out how we can get them to another thing that makes sense for them, because not everybody's going to sit in the Tiffany Lounge. And I think that's it's a first world problem, so to speak, but the PGA Tour wants to expand beyond that elitism or that elitist culture that they kind of have right now, an appearance that they have. They want to expand into new people, and they're trying to find new ways to do it. NASCAR, on the other hand, was just very, very corporate, and as there was money to spend, it spent. I think they just overexpanded. And the reality is the contraction we saw was just getting back to reality, right? The NASCAR bubble popped.
Right.
The PGA Tour is a little different because it was really driven by Tiger Woods. And now Tiger
yeah.
Woods may not be good again. So how are we going to try to keep those levels up?
All right, one final question, then I'll let you go, Tony. Appreciate this because I know you shifted your time to do this for us.
Oh, never. It's one of my favorite times.
I talked about expansion with you last month, and I know that since and at the All-Star Game in New York, Adam Silver mentioned something interesting. Not one, but four teams in Europe, because travel-wise, that would make sense.
Yep.
So if I throw out there baseball, basketball, hockey, football, each one, of each one, tell me yes or no if expansion makes sense for each one of the four.
Baseball, no, not right now. If they did do it, the only way it would make sense would be to do it in Mexico or in the Caribbean. And even there, I don't think the economic influence exists for them to be able to support a team the way teams are run today. Right? You need to put a team in Mexico City. If you're going to do that, you need to have corporate dollars behind that team. And they just don't have that infrastructure in place down there. I mean, in Europe, you do. For the NBA to say, we're going to go and we're going to build in Europe and we're going to actually make it part of our league makes sense, because in Europe, you have that corporate undertone. You have those companies that are used to doing larger deals, that are used to doing long-term deals, that are used to supporting teams throughout, you know, the process, like they do with cricket and with soccer over there. So basketball makes sense over there. Baseball, not so much. The NFL, they've tried it before. I think they tried it incorrectly. One of my dear friends played in the NFL Europe for quite a long time. The team has to be part of the NFL proper, and I think they're going to need some time to get behind it. I don't think it's going to be as well accepted as, you know, maybe basketball is, which is a little bit more of an international sport right now than football is. Right. And then hockey is going to be incredibly difficult. The only way they can actually expand hockey would be to actually acquire one of the leagues. Right? There's a very, very large and well-known and very well-established, mature league. They have one in Finland. They have one. The KHL in Russia is, you know, the NHL Junior. Right. There's no way for them to do that without actually acquiring another league.
Tony, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Next hour, Kevin will talk about a vehicle he drove this week that could make right turns on News Radio 1070 WKOK.